Blog Talk Radio.
Join Blueprint Radio each Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Blueprint Radio host Gloria Thornwell interviews organization leaders on trends and best practices in business and human capital management, business and human resource leadership, and being a change champion in the new global business economy. www.blogtalkradio.com/blueprintllc.
And welcome to Blueprint Radio. Blueprint Radio is a division of the Blueprint Leadership Institute, and on the Blueprint Radio show, we interview organization leaders and change management professionals who are subject matter experts in human capital management, business strategy, government contracting, and those who have reinvented and led organization transformation in the new global and changing economy. I'm Gloria Thornwell, Human Resource and Management Consultant and your Blueprint Radio show host. I read recently that more than 200 North American CEOs, board directors, and senior executives of public and private companies, they were polled in an executive coaching survey. It was a survey conducted in spring 2013 by Stanford University and the Miles Group. The survey revealed that approximately two-thirds of CEOs do not receive coaching or leadership advice from outside consultants or coaches, and almost half of senior executives are not receiving coaching or leadership advice. The research studied two areas. Number one, what kind of leadership advice CEOs and their top executives receive or not receive, and number two, the targeted skill areas for improvement. Key findings from the study were the following. Number one, there's a shortage of advice at the top. So nearly 66% of chief executive officers receive no coaching or leadership advice, again, from outside consultants or outside coaches, although 100% of them stated that they are receptive to coaching and making changes based on feedback. Finding number two, CEOs are looking to be coached. So when they were asked the question, whose decision was it for you to receive coaching, 78% of the CEOs responded that it was their own idea, and 21% said that coaching was the board chairman's idea. Finding number three, coaching progress is largely kept private. More than 60% of survey respondents admitted that the progress that they're making in their coaching sessions is kept between themselves and their coach. And a third of the respondents said that their coaching sessions are shared with the board of directors. Finding number four, how to handle conflict ranked as the highest area of concern for chief executive officers. So when they were asked which is the biggest area for their own personal development, nearly 43% of the CEOs rated conflict management skills as the highest. The study indicated that CEOs use coaching to improve in the following areas: sharing, delegation and leadership, conflict management, team building, and mentoring. So joining us today is Dr. Steve Gladys. He's a thought leader, author, executive, and leadership coach. Dr. Gladys will share with us the value of using coaching strategies. He'll talk a little bit about a description of the ideal coaching candidate and highlights from his most recent book, The Coach Approach Leader. Welcome, Dr. Gladys, to Blueprint Radio. Dr. Gladys, again, is the author of several books on executive and leadership coaching, and he understands the critical need for and the nature of ongoing executive coaching. So we're really excited to have him on the show with us today. We're going to go to a short commercial break, and when we return, Dr. Steve Gladys, thought leader, author, executive, and leadership coach, will join us for part one of our executive coach discussion. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that when you take a Blueprint Leadership Institute course, you can earn credits towards your PHR, SPHR, and GPHR recertification? The Blueprint Leadership Institute is certified by the Human Resource Certification Institute and by the International Accreditation Organization. Earn CEUs in project management, finance, executive development, and in other disciplines that will keep you current as a 21st century business leader. Register today. www.blueprint-llc.com.
Welcome back to Blueprint Radio. I'm Gloria Thornwell, your Blueprint Radio show host. Today our discussion is executive coaching, and this is part one of a three-part series. And our special guest and featured interview is with Dr. Steve Gladys. He's an executive and leadership coach, a thought leader, and author. Welcome, Dr. Gladys, again to Blueprint Radio. I want to be sure that you can hear us. Give me one moment here. Dr. Gladys, Hi. Are you there, and can you hear me?
Yeah, Gloria, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Excellent, excellent. Welcome again. So, Dr. Gladys, I'm going to just jump right into the questions, and if you don't mind. So my first question for you is, can you describe for our listening audience the difference between executive coaching, leadership coaching, and life coaching?
Let me just describe coaching in general and then break it down. So what coaching is really one person helping another person solve their own problems. That sounds kind of simple. And in many cases, it really is simple, but in other cases, it gets more complex depending upon the problem. But the job of an executive coach or a coach in general is to help people, first of all, figure out what their issue is. What is their problem? Most of the time when people come into executive coaches or life coaches, doesn't matter who it is, they really don't always have their issue defined. In fact, I would say almost always they don't have the exact issue defined, and it's through a bunch of questions that coaches ask to try to find out what the issue is, where the solution really begins. The whole point of the exercise is for coaches to help the other person, the person they're coaching, discover what their issue is, figure out where they really want to go, and then what steps they want to do to get there. And then the coach holds them accountable, as they will be held accountable to themselves. But it's really about the person, the person being coached, the coachee sometimes called, solving their own problems, which is kind of an interesting take. This is not consulting. It's not me telling you what the right answer is. It's me asking you some real deep questions and causing you to pause, reflect, think about. And a lot of times you'll hear clients say, gee, I never thought of that. And those kinds of questions kind of stop people, slow them down, and make them reflect. But the idea of the whole idea of coaching, whether it's for senior executives, which I tend to work with, or whether it's in life coaching, where it could be anybody being coached on an issue that they're facing in their own life, it doesn't really matter. The process is pretty much the same. Identify the issue, identify its impact, what is your ideal state that you want to get to, and what's the step that you're going to take to get there.
So then are executive life and leadership coaching, I mean, it sounds like they're aligned, so it's kind of like the same approach. So is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good way of putting it. You really, whether it's me talking to a senior executive about his particular or her particular problem, or whether it's a life coach talking to somebody about trying to change something in their life, the approach is pretty much the same. The process that I use, I did a book called The Coach Approach Leader, and it's pretty much the approach that most coaches use. I just made it a little bit more simplified. Is you look at four areas. You ask questions around four areas. The first area, as I mentioned, I think before, was what's the issue? Tell me what your problem is. So some people come in and you say, well, my boss is a jerk. Well, that's not a problem. It's what. Why is he? How is he acting? What is he doing to you? And you might find out that after asking a bunch of questions that the reason the boss is acting in a sort of negative way is because the person's coming into work late every day, and it's really a deeper issue. So we try to find out in coaching what's the issue. Secondly, what's the impact that that's having on you and other people around you? Thirdly, where do you want to go? What's the ideal state? And fourthly, what's your intention going forward? So we call it the four I's. That's the approach, and it doesn't really matter whether it's executive coaching or coaching an individual. And also, it doesn't matter whether it's peer-to-peer coaching, which is one of the things that we teach companies how to do. In fact, I'm teaching a class at Washington Gas on Thursday in the afternoon to brand new supervisors. We're going to teach them how to coach each other. We'll actually get them coaching each other in the room that day, and they'll all love it. The reason I know that is I've taught it so many times. That the reaction is always the same. They all enjoy that, talking to each other. And it's really about listening to the other person that really gets the juices flowing. People just want to be heard, you know, most of the time.
Absolutely. So then how is, can you tell us how coaching is a leadership model? Can you explain
that?
Yeah,
sure. So, yeah, it's interesting. I'm giving away a trade secret here, but one of the exercises that I do when I teach these classes is I ask people to close their eyes and think about the best leader they've ever had. So they call up this picture of this person. Then I have them write down three feelings that this leader made them feel, three words that describe how this leader made them feel. And then I put all the words up that people say on the flip chart. It's usually things like he made me feel listened to, he made me feel respected, he made me feel like I was important, like I had a voice, those sorts of things, you know, like I was valued. And I put those on the board or on the flip chart, and we talk about those, and it's pretty clear. Everybody has pretty much the same opinion about the best leader that they ever had. And at the end of then I teach them how to coach each other by using this 4I method, using questions around those 4 I's that I mentioned. I do a demonstration, and then I have each one coaches the other person for about 20-25 minutes. At the end of the day, when we finish the class, I say, okay, tell me how it felt when you were being coached. How did it make you feel? And I put up all these words that they say. And at the end of the day, the chart that I made at the beginning of the best leader they have, that described the best leader they ever had, and the way they felt in coaching are identical, absolutely identical. And so it shows them that this process is a great leadership model. It actually, you can actually replicate the best leader you ever had just by using a particular mm-hmm. model of approach. And it's basically just being patient mm-hmm. and listening to people.
Got it. So let me ask, so at the end of the day, I mean, really, yeah. What is the benefit? So, a lot of, unfortunately, some executives don't, recognize that they need executive or leadership coaching. So if you had to describe, the one or two benefits of using a coaching strategy or having a coaching, course or whatever,
sure.
What would you say that those one or two benefits would be?
Well, first of all, most CEOs, if you're talking about CEOs or even senior executives, most of them don't talk to anybody about some of the issues they're going through. They keep them to themselves, oftentimes take them home, talk to their wives or their husbands about it, who after a while just get tired of hearing their story, if you know what I mean. Having your own business, you understand what I'm talking about, right? I mean, after a while, he's just tired of listening to your line. And so the good part about a coach is that the coach is paid to listen to that and paid to respond to it and is very interested in helping you solve those problems. And so the first thing is we tell clients is, why would you ever want to go this route alone if you didn't have to? It's really a tough road. You've started a business. You know what I'm talking about. It's very difficult. It's very lonely. I mean, when they say it's lonely at the top, they're not kidding. It's very lonely. There's nobody to talk to. If a president is thinking of selling his business, who in his company is he going to talk to? He can't talk to anybody because the people would dive off the ship here. So having those deep conversations is really important. I think that's probably one of the biggest things. The second thing is what I call the magic of conversation. It's like talk therapy. When people talk, and I'm not a therapist, and I don't mean to portray myself as one, but when people talk, they end up solving problems. You've probably yourself talked or explained something to somebody or taught somebody a class, and in the middle of the class made a discovery yourself. It happens all the time when people start talking. They begin to solve their own problems just by saying what they are. I coached a woman this morning and asked her a bunch of questions, and halfway through it, she said, "Gee, this makes me feel like there's some hope out there." Mm-hmm. And she actually used the word hope, and I said, "Gee, I'm really glad that that's how you feel after having this conversation." And she was pretty down before she came to this meeting, but she said, "I feel like there's some hope," and I think that's what coaching gives you: is that this thing is everything can be solved if you just give it some time and sort of take a lot of the emotion out and just kind of sort of talk through it. Doesn't mean you can't be emotional. It's just nice to have somebody to, when you shut the door, it's a confidential conversation. It's not going to go anywhere, and this person is always in it for you and your best interest. So those would be a couple of reasons that I'd say it really benefit people.
point. I would have to agree with you that it does sound, while you're, you know, you don't consider yourself a therapist or you're not a therapist by training, but it sounds to be very therapeutic, because it is, there are a lot of things that, as you mentioned, that you want to talk about or things that you deal with in the executive role. And who do you talk to? Who's going to want to hear it? Who is there listening to you, and who will keep it confidential? And so you're right. If you talk to your employees, you know, about, you know, want to sell the business or whatever, you're right, they'll jump ship. So it sounds, you know, again, like one of the, at least for me, would be that it's therapeutic, and again, you have someone there, an ear, and sounds like, you know, the client solved their own problems, but it's just a way to get them to sort of pull things out of them, pull the answer out of them. So perhaps they already have the answer, but you're there, the executive leadership coach is there to help pull the answers out and to keep them sort of organizing their thought processes, perhaps.
That's a pretty good explanation of it. Maybe you should be a coach. I mean, that's a pretty good explanation. I mean, that's really what the job is. The job is to ask. I call it being an intelligent ignorant. In other words, I'm, you know, the most coaches are pretty smart. They know what they're doing if they've had training and been certified and have worked at this for a while. But they're also ignorant of who you are. So if I have a client at Washington Gas, or I have a client with the U.S. Treasury, or I have a client with the FBI, it doesn't matter. I don't have to know your job. The job of the person who comes to coaching is to know their world and their job. And if they know their job, my job is to know the process. And as long as I know the process and you know the work, together, we're like a Cuisinart and ingredients. We'll come up with a solution. A lot of times people come in and they want to give me a lot of background about their particular company. And I don't mind getting some background, but I don't want to learn how to become an engineer to help them solve this problem, because most of the time the problem isn't an engineering problem. It's a leadership problem. So I'm the expert on process. I keep it on task, as you said. The person coming in is the expert on his life. I mean, there's no way I can tell you how to live your life, because I haven't lived it. But I can sure ask you questions about it. Like, do you like what you do? I remember asking a CEO once this question once. I said, do you actually like what you're doing? He said, I'm not sure anymore. I said, well, maybe we should talk about that, you know? So
we're going to go to a short commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our interview with thought leader, author, and executive coach, Dr. Steve Gladys. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that when you take a Blueprint Leadership Institute course, you can earn credits towards your PHR, SPHR, and GPHR recertification? The Blueprint Leadership Institute is certified by the Human Resource Certification Institute and by the International Accreditation Organization. Earn CEUs in project management, finance, executive development, and in other disciplines that will keep you current as a 21st century business leader. Register today, www.blueprint-llc.com.
Welcome back to Blueprint Radio. I'm Gloria Thornwell, your Blueprint Radio show host. We're discussing today, it's part one of a three-part series, Executive Coaching. And our featured guest today is Dr. Steve Gladys, author, thought leader, and executive coach. Dr. Gladys, my next question is, can you tell us the definition of peer coaching and how is it used?
Sure. So peer coaching is teaching peers how to coach each other. That sounds like a silly answer, but that's exactly what it is. We teach peers how to coach each other. I had one organization where two people who were peers, and they didn't get they weren't enemies or anything like that. They just didn't get along all that well. And for some reason or other, when I was teaching a class on how to coach, I picked the two of those to work together, not knowing that they didn't get along all that well. And they stuck with it for 6 months. And their job was to get together twice a month for about an hour, and to coach each other. One person would act as the coach, and the other person would tell them about their problem, and then they would switch roles. And they did that twice a month. And within about 6 months, the two of them not only were working much better together, but actually had become kind of friends. And they said it really had changed their relationship. So peer coaching is just getting a group of peers in a room and pairing them off and teaching them the coaching process. And I do this you know, fairly frequently. It's not that hard, actually, to teach people how to do this, and then getting them in the practice of doing it, and then getting them to commit to 3 to 6 months of actually getting together and coaching each other. If they actually do it, and usually I come in once every couple of months to see how it's doing, to keep them kind of honest, to make sure people are fulfilling their commitment. If they actually do it, the pairs of peers, the people that get together that actually do it, will have a great results. So you don't have to spend a lot of money for outside coaching like me. You can get somebody like me or others to come in, teach you how to coach, and then let you work together. You just have to hold people accountable. That's why I think you need the coach to come back in every couple of months to make sure everybody is actually doing what they said they would do.
Interesting. So let me ask you this, Dr. Gladys. Yeah. Who is, if you had to describe kind of an ideal candidate to use an executive or a leadership coach, could you describe like the type of role or perhaps the type of individual? Like, who needs an executive coach ideally?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about strictly about executive coaching, well, then I would say an executive, somebody at mid to upper level in a corporation. Depending on the corporation, you know, some middle managers at large corporations have way more budget and way more responsibility than CEOs of very small companies. So it can vary, right? But somebody who is at a relatively senior level, I would say, in an organization who makes important decisions. I mean, I've coached people from first-line supervisors all the way up to CEOs and even chairman. So it could be anywhere along the line. But if you talk about ideal candidate for me would be somebody from a company that's large enough to have invested in coaching in the past, who gets it, who you don't have to really sell on the idea, understands coaching, who has enough money in the budget to afford executive coaching without doing a lot of wrangling and wringing of hands. Most companies that get executive coaching aren't really that concerned about the cost of it. I mean, many companies, for example, pay for graduate degrees. I coach at Darden, and the graduate degree at Darden is $120,000 for an MBA, and coaching is a lot cheaper than that. So you want companies that invest regularly in leadership that get it, and the ideal candidate would come from a company where the CEO or some of the senior guys, men and women, had executive coaching. So if the upper management gets executive coaching, it makes it much easier for people below them to get executive coaching. So companies like that, that's where my ideal candidates come from, when they really understand coaching so that you don't have to explain it. Mm. If that makes sense, but, you know.
And that makes complete sense. So,
yes.
Dr. Glass, you wrote a book. You've written many books. And so one of your books, Positive Leadership, has been noted as a book that helps bring science to life. Can you talk to our listening audience about positive leadership and how, you know, the storyline, the concepts and practices, you know, positively impact or could positively impact an organization's culture?
Okay, so the research we did was on positive leadership. It's about a year and a half's worth of research. What we looked at, we didn't do the research ourselves, but we looked at, or what I looked at with a couple of others that worked with me, kind of getting some of the stuff together, was looking at the studies that had been done. So we looked at original research and then interpreted that original research for laymen, if that makes sense. We tried to make it really simple to understand so that people weren't having to read about ANOVAs and regression analysis and things like that. We found basically sort of the three things, or several things. Number one, that people's positivity levels really are come from three different places. 50% of your positivity level or your happiness level comes from your parents. 10% of it comes from all the things that happen to you in life, but 40% is controlled by you. And the control by you is what we studied in this book. We found out that people who are highly socialized, highly networked, were the happiest people in the world. These are people who had strong relationships at work, at home, and with their friends. The second thing we found is that people who worked in areas of their strength most of the day, 80% of the day, worked in areas that they were good at and liked and enjoyed, were among the happiest of all people. And then finally, we found that people who practiced positive physical and psychological things were among the happiest people. And I'm just going to tell you about one of the things because we don't have a lot of time for this. But one of them was on depression. They studied people who are depressed, and they found that if every night before you go to bed, you write down three things that went well today, every day at the end of the day before you go to bed, within 15 days you'll see people who suffer from depression become relieved of it. It's an amazing piece of research. I've been doing it now for 2 years, and
wow,
it absolutely works. Every night when I go to bed, I keep it in my medicine cabinet right below my Lipitor so that I have to take my Lipitor at night. So I pull it down from the shelf and with my little notebook that I got from CVS for 99 cents, and I write down three things that went well. And I suspect you'll be one of the things that I write about tonight. Being on this show, I'll write about what fun I had. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take very long for you to rechange and reprogram your brain, and that's exactly what this does. This research was done at the University of Pennsylvania by Marty Seligman, probably one of the most eminent psychologists in the country, who himself suffers from depression. So this is really big stuff. If you did nothing else but what I said tonight, but started doing this, your life would change within about a month. It's just amazing.
That's an amazing, it sounds so simple, right? But it's an amazing study, and it's amazing that a researcher, studied that and then, had these findings. But it's a simple thing to do. And it's just an amazing study. And as you said, I bet it works. Really does work, I'm certain.
It absolutely does. And if we got a minute, I'm going to tell you about one other thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Every Wednesday, if you were on my Facebook group, I put out a thing on Facebook and Twitter. I call it Kind Wednesdays. What they found out, Sonia Libermerski at the University of California did a study on kindness, and she found out that people who did several kind things one day a week had a booster charge on their happiness level. You pick one day a week, you do three or four things, small things. You can let people in the traffic on the beltway. You can do just really, you can send somebody flowers. You can send somebody an email saying, hey, I miss you and I really like you, or catch up with a friend. It doesn't have to be big. You can buy somebody a cup of coffee. You can pay somebody a compliment. And I've done all sorts of things to include one day I brought my new car into service to one of these fancy cars, and it's a BMW thing, and they take you, and you never meet the guy that works in your car. So I left a little sticky note thanking the technician for working on my car, and when I got my car back, they said this kid thought that was one of the nicest things that he'd ever had done for him. And I thought, geez, this kid's had a tough life. But it took me 30 seconds to write a note, stick it on a sticky note, and thank him for what he did. That's the kind of, but it has huge impact in people's lives.
It does. It's very small, but it goes a very, very long way. And so it goes a long way with your staff, with your executives, with folks that you work with the folks in your leadership team. It just goes a very, very long way, and it's really necessary. It's necessary for survival, actually.
Well, it is. So. It, you really hit it on the head. So I have everybody take a yellow sticky note and put a big circle around it, and then put a big plus sign in the middle and put it on your desk and move that 12 to 14 inches every day so it doesn't become like background, and it reminds you to be more positive every day. It's a really simple technique, but it has amazing effects on people. So I would challenge you to try that for about a month. And start writing down.
Dr. Budd, we don't have much more time. We have a couple minutes left. But what I want to do is just to thank you so much for joining Blueprint Radio, and I'm certain that our listening audience, although we didn't get through all of the items I wanted to talk about today, I wish we had more time, but I'm certain that our listening audience is much more versed on leadership and executive coaching and how coaching can facilitate productive change in people and in teams and systems, and how it enables leaders and managers and employees to uncover potential that might otherwise go untapped. So, again, Dr. Gladys, we want to thank you so much for your time and for joining Blueprint Radio. To learn more about Blueprint Radio, you can visit us at www.blueprint-llc.com, www.blueprint-llc.com. Thank you for joining Blueprint Radio. We hope that you will join us each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Until next time.
Join Blueprint Radio each Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Blueprint Radio host Gloria Thornwell interviews organization leaders on trends and best practices in business and human capital management, business and human resource leadership, and being a change champion in the new global business economy. www.blogtalkradio.com/blueprintllc.